Chapter 91. Acquiescence in it, he concluded that they had just been cheating somebody and receiving the bill. Will you have the goodness, Mr. Richard, apostrophe said Brass, taking a letter from his desk, just to step over to Peckham Rye with that? There's no answer, but it's rather particular, and should go by hand. Charge the office with your coach hire back, you know. Don't spare the office. Get as much out of it as you can, clerk's motto, eh, Mr. Richard? Ha ha! Apostrophe, Mr. Swiveller solemnly doffed the aquatic jacket, put on his coat, took down his hat from its peg, pocketed the letter, and departed. As soon as he was gone, up rose Miss Sally Brass, and smiling sweetly at her brother, who nodded and smote his nose in return, withdrew also. Sampson Brass was no sooner left alone than he set the office door wide open, and establishing himself at his desk directly opposite, so that he could not fail to see anybody who came downstairs, and passed out at the street door, began to write with extreme cheerfulness and assiduity, humming as he did so, in a voice that was anything but musical, certain vocal snatches which appeared to have reference to the union between church and state, inasmuch as they were compounded of the evening hymn and God Save the King. Thus, the attorney of Bevis Marks sat, and wrote, and hummed, for a long time, except when he stopped to listen with a very cunning face, and hearing nothing, went on humming louder, and writing slower than ever. At length, in one of these pauses, he heard his lodger's door opened and shut, and footsteps coming down the stairs. Then, Mr. Brass left off writing entirely, and, with his pen in his hand, hummed his very loudest, shaking his head meanwhile from side to side, like a man whose whole soul was in the music, and smiling in a manner quite seraphic. It was towards this moving spectacle that the staircase and the sweet sounds guided Kit, on whose arrival before his door, Mr. Brass stopped his singing, but not his smiling, and nodded affably, at the same time beckoning to him with his pen. Kit, apostrophe said Mr. Brass, in the pleasantest way imaginable, how do you do? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Kit, being rather shy of his friend, made a suitable reply, and had his hand upon the lock of the street door, when Mr. Brass called him softly back. You are not to go, if you please, Kit, apostrophe said the attorney in a mysterious, and yet businesslike way. You are to step in here, if you please. Dear me, when I look at you, apostrophe said the lawyer, quitting his stool, and standing before the fire with his back towards it, I am reminded of the sweetest little face that ever my eyes beheld. I remember your coming there, twice or thrice, when we were in possession. Ah, Kit, my dear fellow, gentlemen in my profession have such painful duties to perform sometimes, that you needn't envy us, you needn't indeed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I don't, sir, apostrophe said Kit, though it isn't for the like of me to judge. Apostrophe, our only consolation, Kit, apostrophe pursued the lawyer, looking at him in a sort of pensive abstraction, is, that although we cannot turn away the wind, we can soften it, we can temper it, if I may say so, to the shorn lambs. Apostrophe, shorn indeed. Apostrophe, apostrophe thought Kit. Pretty close. Apostrophe, but he didn't say so. On that occasion, Kit, apostrophe said Mr. Brass, on that occasion that I have just alluded to, I had a hard battle with Mr. Quilp, for Mr. Quilp is a very hard man, to obtain them the indulgence they had. It might have cost me a client, but suffering virtue inspired me, and I prevailed. Apostrophe, he's not so bad after all, apostrophe thought honest Kit, as the attorney pursed up his lips, and looked like a man who was struggling with his better feelings. I respect you, Kit, apostrophe said Brass with emotion. I saw enough of your conduct, at that time, to respect you, though your station is humble, and your fortune lowly. It isn't the waistcoat that I look at. It is the heart. The checks in the waistcoat are but the wires of the cage. But the heart is the bird. Ah! How many such birds are perpetually molting, and putting their beaks through the wires, to peck at all mankind. apostrophe apostrophe this poetic figure, which Kit took to be in a special allusion to his own checked waistcoat, quite overcame him. Mr. Brass's voice and manner added not a little to its effect, for he discoursed with all the mild austerity of a hermit, and wanted but a cord round the waist of his rusty surtout, and a skull on the chimney piece, to be completely set up in that line of business. Well, well, apostrophe, said Samson, smiling as good men smile, when they compassionate their own weakness, or that of their fellow creatures, this is wide of the bullseye. Here to take that, if you please. Apostrophe, as he spoke, he pointed to a couple of half-crowns on the desk. Kit looked at the coins, and then at Samson, and hesitated. For yourself, apostrophe, said Brass. From apostrophe, no matter about the person they came from, apostrophe, replied the lawyer. Say me, if you like. We have eccentric friends overhead, Kit, and we mustn't ask questions or talk too much, you understand. Here to take them, that's all, and between you and me, I don't think they'll be the last you'll have to take from the same place. I hope not. Goodbye, Kit. Goodbye. Apostrophe, with many thanks, and many more self-reproaches for having on such slight ground suspected one who in their very first conversation turned out such a different man from what he had supposed, Kit took the money, and made the best of his way home. Mr. Brass remained airing himself at the fire, and resumed his vocal exercise, and his seraphic smile, simultaneously. May I come in? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Miss Sally, peeping. Oh yes, you may come in, apostrophe, returned her brother. Ahem. Apostrophe, apostrophe, coughed Miss Brass interrogatively. Why, yes, apostrophe, returned Samson, I should say as good as done. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.